Well, I want to take just one more time to say thank you to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day. You are truly a blessing from God in the lives of so many children and your husbands. So thank you. I know, not from personal experience, but from witnessing my mother, being a mom is a tough job. It is a hard job. It causes sleepless nights, and it probably brings more than your share of trouble into your life. And sometimes, unfortunately, I think raising kids can be a thankless job in our society. But it's actually, I thought about this week, it's actually impossible for kids not to cause problems for our moms. And the reason for that is because our moms care so much. And they're always concerned about our lives and how things are going. God has uniquely designed and wired moms with a caring heart, with a caring soul. Even though I believe that God has designed moms to have a heart and a love for kids, it's still hard to be a mom. And maybe sometimes even harder to be a mom that glorifies the Lord. Someone wrote this. I couldn't find an author to it, but someone once wrote this week. I read it this week, and it says, Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, all the old gum they've held in their hands, all the noses they've wiped, and all the bloody knees that they made well with their kisses. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and enduring all those football and soccer games in the rain. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, not believing them when they said, I hate you, and sharing their good times and their bad. What are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners. Some mow lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors, they're psychologists, they're counselors, then they're chauffeurs and they're coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities. They are molders of vocabularies. They are shapers of attitude. Mothers are that soft voice that says, I love you. And I firmly believe that mothers are a link to God. The child's first impression of God's love, a reflection of that sacrificial laying their life down love that God defines so perfectly. All of these things, think about all the things that your mother has taught you. I thought about it this week. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done by saying, if you're going to kill each other, go outside and do it out there. I just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me about religion when she said, you better pray that that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me about logic when she said, because I said so, that's why. Okay? My mother taught me foresight when she said, make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're ever in an accident. My mother taught me irony when she said, keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis when she said, now close your mouth and eat your supper. I always thought about that. My mother taught me about stamina when she said, you're going to sit there until all that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about weather when she said, your bedroom looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about the circle of life when she said, I brought you into this world and I could certainly take you out of it. My mother taught me about envy when she said, there are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation when she said, you just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about recycling when she said, you are going to get it. Or I'm sorry, recycling, receiving. You are going to get it when you get home. My mother taught me how to be an adult. She said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about roots when she said, shut the door behind you. What do you think, you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about justice when she said, one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. On Mother's Day, in all seriousness, we can't say enough good things about our moms, but you know what? Let's try. This morning, in honor of all moms, we take a deviation from normally. If you're new here this morning, we go through take a book of the Bible and go through it verse by verse, line by line, expository teaching. This is a pretty special day. I thought we'd take a break and honor all moms, past, present, and future. And we're going to look at a woman in the Old Testament who really, in a lot of ways, was sort of a model of motherhood. And I think we can learn from her and how moms can be godly moms. And actually, even though this morning I'm sort of applying it to moms, when we read through these scriptures, there is something here that applies to each and every one of us. Mother or father, single or married, young or old, male or female. Because ultimately, these scriptures are about how we, as God's people, can be godly people. So if you want, we're going to jump into the Old Testament, into 1 Samuel. And if you want to start turning there, in a Pew Bible, we're going to start on page 282. And we're going to start at 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says this, "Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and Ephraimite." You can tell the Old Testament names are tough to get through. "He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other was Penah. And Penah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city early to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penah, his wife, and to her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?'" As we walk through here and asking the question of what does it look like to be a godly mom, or to be a godly person. The first thing we see here, a truth, is that a godly mom will face problems. Now, great, super encouraging message, Mark. Great job for Mother's Day, right? I think this is actually very encouraging. I think it's really practical, because too often people are thinking, and I think moms in particular in their role, might get to the wrong thinking of, well, if I'm having problems in my life, then I must not be living in a godly way. I must be a bad mom. Moms, I want you to hear this. That is a lie. That is a lie straight from Satan. Remember that Jesus himself said we are going to have troubles in this life. John 16, 33. "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, we see people who are striving, genuinely striving to live for God. And they face problems. Just think of Joseph or Moses or Joshua, Esther. And now here we see Hannah. In these two verses, we see, in these few verses rather, we see that Hannah's husband had two wives, and the other wife has children, but Hannah has no children. She's unable to bear child. Now, think about in context here in this culture, the reason for having a wife in this age right here was specifically to provide children. And because she wasn't able to have children, it says that she would face ridicule year after year. Back in verse 6, "Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. And so Hannah wept and would not eat." I don't know what we don't know exactly what was said, but it was probably something along the lines of, "Hey, can you help me? Because I have so many children and you have none. Can you help me? Or would you help me? Mind helping me change a diaper? Oh, do you know how to change a diaper? Because you don't have any kids." And this went on year after year. And Hannah, I'm sure, began to feel feelings of inadequacy. I would not be surprised if she had bouts of depression that she battled with, asking maybe, "Lord, what are you doing here? What is my purpose in this life?" I am certain that there are women and men here this morning that maybe feel some inadequacy or maybe depressed. And you don't understand why God has you in the situation that you're in right now. I know that there are some here today who haven't been able to have children. Or maybe you've lost a child. Or maybe you're struggling to provide for your family. Maybe you're facing problems and thinking, "Well, I must not be a good person. I must not be a godly person in the eyes of God because this is happening to me." I want to tell you that this text, this message is for, if you feel any of these, this text is for you today. To be a godly mom or a godly person doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. You are going to have problems that you're going to need to face, but you need to hear and understand that you're not supposed to, you don't need to, and you're not supposed to face these problems alone. And just because you face problems does not mean that you are not loved by God. But so what do we do in these moments? Because this is brass tacks. This is what real life is like. Well, let's see what Hannah did, continuing on in verse 9. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." So here we see another attribute of a godly mom. A godly mom prays. But Hannah was pouring out her heart and her soul to God. And she had some real problems, some problems that were causing her extreme pain and anguish. But instead of giving up, she looked up. She looked up to God in prayer. Often, I think for all of us, it's until we get to a place where we're really facing a problem, do we turn to the Lord. We kind of go on autopilot a lot of times. As long as everything's kind of moving along fine, right? We don't really have a need for the Lord. We don't really have a need for prayer. We think for a moment, or at least a while, we can handle it ourselves. We can handle things. But then difficult circumstances come, and these circumstances in our life, they're there for a purpose. Scripture says they're there to teach us to persevere, and they help us mature as Christians and rely even more on God. Listen to what Jesus' brother said about this. He said, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God wants us to mature in Him, in Christ. And when we don't mature in Christ, when we aren't constantly and continually depending and counting on Him, the relationship that we have with Christ begins to lack. It becomes maybe superficial, but certainly disjointed. And that's not the design that God has for us. That design of wanting us to truly live in Christ, have joy in Christ. Remember when Paul had he called it the thorn in his flesh. And God would not take it away from Paul. Even though Paul asked, he wouldn't take it away. And why was that? And Paul recognizes it was so that God left it there so that Paul would rely on God even more and more. It was literally to keep him humble. I wonder about this myself in my life and all the injuries and everything that I have. And even though I go to doctors and therapists and things like that, I wonder sometimes if this pain will ever truly go away. If God wants to leave it there because he knows my proud heart. That's what Paul said. And Paul, he used that thorn, whatever it was, that thorn in his flesh, to count even more on the grace of God, to have it strengthen him even more and get him through some pretty horrific times. Jesus told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." I'm sure many of you have heard this before, but to really wrap our minds around that Christ's power in our life is made perfect in our weakness. It's a hard, and it's completely counter culture, completely counter the world, right? Especially as men, as women as well too, because we're told, you know, be strong, stand up, you know, don't take charity, right? It's a shame to ask somebody else for help. But God says, no, I am made perfect in your weakness. And it's not until we face problems that our weaknesses are exposed, right? In areas where our weakness is exposed, but often when that happens, we have no choice but to turn to God. There's no other option. And this is exactly where Hannah is. She is kind of at the end of a rope. And she cries out, literally cries out to God in her weakness. Some of you this morning might be suffering through some different issues. But hear this, God wants you, don't bottle them up. God wants you to bring your problems to him. We believe the lie that, well, I can't go to God, right, because my life is so screwed up, right? Or I can't go to church, right, because my life is so screwed up. That's exactly the opposite of what Jesus says. Come to me. Bring all your garbage. Bring all your baggage, everything you got, and rely on me. I pray that whatever you're experiencing right now, that God will grow you. It sounds a little bit weird, but as a pastor, when I talk to people and try to minister to people, and somebody has a problem that's going on in their life, it sounds a little bit weird, but I know if that person is a believer, if they profess Christ, then that problem is there in your life for a reason. Not to punish, not to humiliate, not to create. There's plenty of suffering in the world. But God has that problem in place to grow you. And I do pray that, and we should pray. It's okay to ask God, God, will you change things? But hear this. He's not just a God that just fixes circumstances alone. The circumstances are there for our good, for our growth, for our maturity, for our strengthening, for our endurance, for our perseverance. So when you pray to God to ask him to change things, that's okay. But please pray right along with that, God, would you change me? Would you show me why you're allowing this? I can't see it right now because I'm just a natural human being that can only see so far. You, though, see everything. So I trust you. And God does change things. Scripture does say he hears those prayers. going back to Hannah, she didn't turn away from God with her problem. She didn't run away from the church. She kept going to the temple, the church at that time. She kept closer and closer to God she was running. To be a godly mom or a godly dad or a godly woman or a godly man, we need to express what is it we're feeling to God in prayer. That's what he asks. And as parents, as a mom, realize that you have, and I know you know this, but you have the amazing, beautiful, powerful window of being an example to your children. Being in relationship with God doesn't mean putting on a show or everything is always great, right? Even when stuff is not. Being in a relationship with God means simply just being real. Just being honest and expressing how you truly feel to God and asking him for his help in dealing with it. That's what Hannah did. That's what we should do too. We need to be praying in everything. Let's keep going on. Let's continue and see what else we can learn from Hannah. So we pick up in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." The third thing that we see here, I think, is that a godly mom trusts God's provision. Yes, God did bless Hannah with the child and provided that son for her. And yes, sometimes God does change our circumstances, but even that change is part of his provision. But even if sometimes he doesn't change our circumstances, he's still providing for us. Remember what we read about Paul and that thorn in his flesh. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God didn't take away Paul's circumstances. Paul was in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten and stoned. He didn't take away all of Paul's circumstances, but he continually provided for Paul over and over again through his grace. Look back at verse 18 in 1 Samuel 1. Before Hannah became pregnant, before she could have even been pregnant, God was still already providing peace to her. It says in 18, "So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad." As we trust in Jesus, initially for our salvation, but then as we grow in that relationship with him and we pour out our hearts to the Lord, God cares for us and cares for you, and he provides for us. And he provides a peace that nothing can provide. Only he can provide it. Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So God's provision doesn't necessarily change our circumstances, although we can certainly ask for it. But whatever God's provision is, he does it to change us. We still may not understand everything that's going on. But you know what? I don't think we need to. I don't think we're supposed to, actually. Because if we knew everything, then what would happen to the command that we need to walk by faith, not by sight? If we knew everything, it starts to negate even the need for faith. But here's the things that we know we need to know, and what God tells us over and over again, that he cares for us and that he is working out his will in your life. And that's the best place to be, inside the will of God. the peace of God, it says, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding. That's an incredible God. Would you want to worship or follow any other a God that can't do that? What an incredible God we have. And he provides for us so abundantly. A little bit later in Philippians 4, Paul, he learned this. He says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." We can trust God to provide what we need when it's beneficial to us at the right time and when it glorifies him the most. We can trust God to provide peace for us, even when our circumstances don't change. But instead, he's changing us. Church family, God is good all the time. All the time. And we can trust him to provide exactly what is best. So here on Mother's Day, being a godly mom means trusting in God's provision, what he has given you. Let's continue on, see what else we can learn here. In verse 21, "Then the man Elkanah went up with his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. When they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the boy to Eli. She said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." Another thing that we learn is here is that a godly mom keeps promises. Remember back in verse 11, she made a vow to the Lord that if she had a son, she said that she would give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Hannah kept her promise. Now, imagine for a moment, You've been unable to have a child your entire life, and now you have your first child, and you give that child up completely to the Lord for his service. This must have been extremely hard for Hannah. When we keep our word, we glorify the Lord, even when it hurts us sometimes, even when it's a little bit tough or painful. And I think it should be the goal of every mother here, every father here, you should raise your child to trust the Lord and serve him, even if that requires some sacrifice on your part. Whatever we do, we need to be serving the Lord, whether it's in our workplace or in our neighborhoods or in our homes. We need to be teaching our kids service, to put others' needs above their own. And I know this is hard. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. But that should be our goal, to teach the child to walk in the ways of the Lord. That, I think, is the ultimate goal of parenting, is it not? Hannah did the thing that would what was best for her son in the long run. But in the short run, it was very painful for her. Godly moms are women of their word. Finally, I think when we're living godly lives and we're experiencing these problems as we go through, and we pray and we receive whatever God's provision is, I think we find and we'll see here that a godly mom or a godly dad praises the Lord. Turning the corner on 1 Samuel 2, says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God.'" Hannah praises the Lord. Why? Because she knew she had been blessed. And that Samuel, her son, was blessed by God too. She knew that Samuel was completely in God's hands. The hands that she knew she could trust. The hands that had already drawn her close to him, that heard her cries, that provided for her. The same hands that blessed her. This was the God that Hannah knew she could trust. With anything she had, any earthly possessions, even her one and only son. And this is the same God that you and I can trust. A God of promise, a God of promises made, and a God of promises kept. And he's the one who wants to draw you as his child, as his son, as his daughter. He wants to draw you closer. He wants to hear your cries. And he wants to give you peace. And he wants to bless you. Moms, no matter what circumstance is in your life today or this week, whatever you're facing, just hear that you're not to face this alone. Being a mom is a tough job. But he has uniquely designed you to accomplish that job with the help, his help, the help of the loving God. So I think the question for all of us is to take a step back. Have we been seeking and accepting his provision? Now, in order to seek help, in order to experience or know his provision, the simple reality is we have to be in a relationship with him. Are you in a relationship with the one and only who can provide that help to you? See, you need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. And we need to pray to him. And we need to accept whatever provision it is that he's giving us. And trust that it's perfect. And he deserves our praise, just like Hannah did. He deserves to be praised, certainly at a minimum for your salvation, but praised for all the grace that comes about is poured over you each day. The simple fact is that Jesus is the only one that we can turn to. We sang about that this morning. I cling to Christ. He's the only one. And you know what? He is sufficient. He's more than what we need every single day. Let me close with this. Thomas Edison has a very famous quote talking about his mother. You may have heard this before. But this is what he wrote. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her application and her faith in me in a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have ever become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." I think that's a really awesome tribute to a blessed mother. Lastly, and this is it, Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you do, and I praise the Lord for the blessings that he pours out on this earth and this church family through you. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray.